This Twit News is brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Stay in control when it comes to your company's access points and authentication. LastPass makes enterprise-level security simple for your remote workforce. Check out LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twit News, episode 358, recorded July 8th, 2020, Google's Smart Home Virtual Summit. This Twit News is brought to you by LastPass. Prepare for the unexpected in your business with LastPass, trusted by over 17 million users and 61,000 businesses worldwide. Visit LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. Hello, folks, and welcome. I am very excited today to be joined by Matthew Casinelli as we get ready to cover Google's Smart Home Summit event. This is a, well, I mean, we don't know a whole lot about what's going to happen here, but we know that Google is talking about the latest from the Google Assistant and its coverage of everything to do with the smart home. So I'm excited. Matthew, are you looking forward to, we've been kind of talking on Smart Tech Today about all of the stuff that Google has announced and is making available to developers. I know I'm pretty pumped to see what officially they've got to say. What about you?
Yes, me too. I am excited. It's interesting. I feel like in the Apple world, it's easy to have missed what was going on. And in general, Google also hasn't done their developer conference like usual because of everybody being at home and things like that. So this is kind of one piece of the puzzle that they're announcing over time. So it'll be interesting to see what they're doing.
Yes, indeed. We are about 2 minutes out, maybe a little bit less than that, for the event. And it looks like we're going to get going soon. Of course, it is called something that we can't quite say here on the live stream. So we'll just call it Google's Smart Home Summit. And you can just have to, you know, sort of read that there about what it actually is. This is an event that starts with the keynote, but much like WWDC will actually be all-encompassing. So it's going to be, you know, multiple conversations, multiple things that are taking place. So we're pretty pumped about this. I know. The Google Home Hub, the Google Home devices, the Chromecast devices. I mean, Google has a really great sort of position in people's homes. So it will be interesting to see what comes next here. So we, myself and Matthew Casinelli, the co-hosts of Smart Tech Today, are covering this event today live, brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. So thank you to LastPass for hosting in a way this event. And we're pumped to kick things off with the keynote.
Hi there, and welcome to the first ever Virtual Smart Home Summit. My name is Vlad Serban, and I'm joined today by some of my amazing colleagues who work with partners in the Americas region. We have exciting updates for you today, so make sure to stay tuned for our keynote presentation by Michelle Turner. She'll cover the latest tools and capabilities of our Smart Home API, along with how developers and device makers alike can benefit from deeper integrations with the Google Assistant. Following the keynote, we'll broadcast our partner panel discussion, moderated by our very own Vera Zonova. She'll speak with representatives from LG, IKEA, Tuya, and Vizio to hear their view on how COVID-19 has impacted their business and get their perspective on the smart home industry in general.
So a little bit of a roadmap here about what we'll be covering.
We wanted to quickly introduce our Americas-based team and share a little bit about what we work on and what's top of mind for us. To start, I'm based in Mountain View and focus on scaling new features, traits, capabilities, and more to our broader ecosystem. And we're doing everything we can to make it easier for partners to build on our platform.
in comparison to the Apple event,
from when you first build and certify your action,
this seems to be more live than we got from the Apple event, the pre-recorded event. This is certainly something that appears to be live. Again, this is a little bit of a roadmap getting into the keynote. Vlad Cerban is the strategic partner of development manager at Google. And like I said, he's providing kind of an overview of the different folks who are bringing you this event today. And it seems like most of them are strategic partner development managers, along with the head of business development for Latin America, Alessandro Hermano, before we see Michelle Turner, the director of product management for the smart home ecosystem, who will be giving you the keynote presentation.
Our lighting partner manager could not make it today, but there are a few features that we will announce in the keynote today, and I'll briefly touch on two of these. First and foremost, users want easy, intuitive setup experiences for their smart lights. They want to take devices out of the box and simply plug and play. Our new seamless setup feature is designed to enable exactly that. We have currently launched this new setup flow with a few beta partners, and look forward
seamless
to
setup
out more
is
later
a lot
year.
Like what Amazon
coupled
provides,
with local execution,
a similar experience.
Enables a fast, seamless, and reliable integration with the assistant. Second, we are seeing an increased focus on smart light-enabled wellness experiences. As users become more aware of the benefits of quality sleep and rest, there's a growing focus on creating light experiences that support optimal sleep health. Traits such as gentle sleep and wake are launching this summer, and custom light recipes from our lighting partners are all designed with helping the user craft the optimal lighting experiences for all parts of their lives. We look forward to working with you all to enable these exciting new features in the coming months. Stay tuned for the keynote to hear more. Philip, over to you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Philip Klimke, and I lead assistant partnerships for our security and monitoring vertical. So this is for device types like security systems, cameras, locks, etc. I'll briefly touch on two trends that we're observing and that we think will continue to be important going forward. The first one is, as users are getting more sophisticated with assistant features and smart home in general, we see that they're increasingly adding security devices to home routines and automations. So for example, this could be arming a security system or locking a door as part of a good night routine. And we really want to lean into this trend and educate users more and more about how they can tie security devices into the larger ecosystem. Another trend that we're observing is a kind of blurring of the lines of business models. So we have partners that provide professionally monitored solutions, and we have partners that are more focused on DIY solutions and device sales. But increasingly, we're also seeing hybrid models that have elements of both of these. And our goal is really to ensure that the assistant experience is seamless across all of these experiences, and to ensure that the integrations that we work on together are additive to your business models and help you fulfill the promise of those business models. So I'm excited to connect today and work with you going forward. And now
this is interesting as it being both focused on developers, but also people who are in marketing and are trying to sell these products.
Yeah.
From brewing your coffee
while you
get ready
to make money,
to regulating energy usage across devices. On this vertical, we're focused on delivering a helpful user experience across various touch points in the home. Whether in the kitchen or the garage, we want our users to have control over their devices while optimizing for comfort throughout moments of their day. And this is even more relevant now, as the time spent at home has increased by over 15% in some countries during the period of quarantine, as cited by our COVID-19 mobility reports. And so with that, we continue to support our amazing partners in building a connected smart home ecosystem. As of today, OAuth-based AppFlip will be made publicly available on the Actions console. This linking feature will make it easier for users to connect to the Google Assistant and control their devices with the supported actions and features. Please stay tuned for more details, which will be provided during the summit, and we look forward to getting connected. Over to you, Caitlin.
Thanks, Taznova. Welcome.
This
I'm
is
Caitlin Mason,
Smart Home
and
Entertainment
our smart
Devices.
Home for Entertainment Devices Partnerships, or SHED for short. Today, we are excited to announce the public launch of APIs to support entertainment devices. The assistant integration will allow for media and device control orchestration across smart TVs, speakers, set-top boxes, streaming devices, and game consoles. You'll hear more about this from Michelle Turner in the keynote. Shed represents a massive market and growing usage on the assistant voice and mobile control. In the U.S. alone, 80% of households have at least one connected to TV, and 40% of households use it daily. We're seeing, during COVID-19, we're seeing an increase in the amount of time that users are spending with their connected devices and consuming more media and audio.
Yes. We talked a little bit about this experience on Smart Tech Today. Frankly, this is the place where a lot of people could come to understand what the smart home offers, because we've all got some sort of television or set-top box or something similar that provides for this experience. So if you, up to this point, have not really gotten into the smart home or wanted smart lights, understanding that you can control your television or your game console or your set-top box with your voice could be your first sort of foray into this technology.
It's a region where it is relatively easy to scale up, given the low number of languages that we have in the region and the common habits shared by the population here. Also, it's very interesting to notice that conversational interfaces are deeply loved in our region, which the Google Assistant represents so well. So there are immense opportunities here for companies that want to explore
deeply
this
loved
market.
Nice.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of amazing ideas and interesting partners in the region, and we're looking forward to evolve our work with local partners and to grow the smart home ecosystem in Latin America. Back to you, Vlad.
So there you have it. If you are a smart home partner based in the Americas region, please reach out to us with any questions. We look forward to working with you. Next, stay tuned for the keynote presentation from Michelle.
Here we go. Again, this was originally scheduled for 10 a.m., the smart home keynote itself. It has been pushed back to 10:15 with that introduction from the America's assistant distribution team. Now, assistant here does not mean assistant to the regional manager, but instead means Google assistant. This is the distribution team for the Google assistant in the Americas. So that's why we heard from the head of business development from Latin America, as well as some other folks who are focused on the different categories that the smart home covers. Up next, we'll hear from Michelle Turner, who is the director for product management in the smart home ecosystem at Google. So this is going to provide some information about how developers can make use of the Google Assistant, what new APIs and other toolkits are available to them. And so, of course, this provides a little bit of a glimpse into what your everyday user can expect from the Google Assistant and from the Android platform as a whole. So this should be interesting to see kind of the overview of what we can expect. But I do want to give a quick shout out to LastPass, who, of course, are bringing you this episode. Look, it's always important to have a plan for the unexpected, and LastPass can be deployed quickly in the midst of any event to ensure your business keeps running smoothly and every employee login is secure. There's single sign-on, which manages employee access in a centralized view, so your IT has insight into who has access to what from where. Enterprise password management ensures oversight of shadow IT and enforceable policies across all password protected accounts, and the most important, multi-factor authentication, which requires additional factors to prove a user's identity, while the use of biometric and contextual factors makes the process smooth for employees. Look, businesses should be thinking about additional layers of defense beyond the password. LastPass doesn't send or store the master password. Encryption happens exclusively at the device level, even before it syncs to LastPass for safe storage. And, of course, they use 256-bit AES encryption. That's the same encryption type utilized by banks and the military. LastPass protects everything while making your process seamless. We use it here at Twit, and it makes things so easy when a new employee joins the company or when someone needs access to Amazon affiliate account or to get into one of our YouTube channels. It's very simple because of LastPass to go in, find the password that we need right then and there, and drop it in. Employees are going to get access through single sign-on and password management so that you can even access those passwords while you are offline. It's very secure, very convenient, and it keeps things locked up tight. LastPass can help make remote work simple and secure. Visit LastPass.com/twit. That is our URL to find out how they can help your business stay productive and secure no matter what. That's LastPass.com/twit. This, again, Matthew, I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
What is, I don't want to come across as some sort of Apple, you know, champion or something like that. But this event definitely has a way different feel from what came before. The scheduling is a little off. The sort of
it sounded like there might have been a last minute emergency with the lighting guy, family kind of thing going on. That is kind of what just happens when you do stuff live. So. We'll see. It seems fine. Also, they are developer conferences. Like, Apple's thing has become a bit of a spectacle. And so, of course, they're going to overdo it. And when they have their, like, brand new Apple Park, they're like, well, let's just go there and shoot all our videos there. So, this is interesting, though. Like, I like the... It is helpful. I mean, I wrote down kind of the sections that they were talking about if anybody wasn't tuned in yet, but they're like scale, lighting, security and monitoring, energy, shed, which is the smart home stuff.
The director of product for the Google Smart Home Ecosystem. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us today. First and welcome virtual smart home summit.
I'm getting an echo.
How we gather and meet today has changed due to COVID-19. And while we may have missed the chance to meet you at Google I.O. or some of our other in-person summits, we're really excited to use this forum to share some of the key Google Smart Home updates. In this session, I'll cover the latest product developments around the Works with Google Assistant ecosystem, an update on where we are with the Works with Nest transition, and our perspective on Project Connected Home over IP. Google's no longer a company that just helps you find answers. With each product we build, we're focused on helping users get stuff done. In Gmail, for example, we are suggesting words to finish sentences. And in Maps, we're helping you find the fastest way home. And in the home, we want to make it more convenient for users to manage their home devices and build upon this foundation towards a helpful home that enables true automation. COVID-19 has impacted us significantly, and everyone is spending a lot more time at home. This lifestyle will likely not change given the convenience of online shopping, video streaming, and remote work. Right now, there's a greater need than ever for us to support the individual needs of people living, working, and learning together under one roof. So,
I like that focus.
Let's talk smart home with the latest on the Works with Google Assistant program. As I just mentioned, all of us have been spending a lot more time at home. In fact, many of you may be watching the stream from the comfort of your own home. Based on a recent survey, 7 out of 10 of you expect to be continuing this trend for a while. Mm-hmm. With all of us home more often, smart devices are being used a bit more, with the biggest growth coming from entertainment devices. Smart speakers and displays are increasingly being used as a form of entertainment, and connected TVs are becoming the norm, with over 80% of U.S. TV households having at least one connected TV. Because of the increased use of smart TVs, we're increasing our support for entertainment devices with our Smart Home API. We're excited to announce the public release of new Smart Home for Entertainment, or SHED, device types and traits, giving users the ability to control their favorite entertainment devices from any assistant surface, mobile, speaker, or display. SHED represents a huge opportunity to expand the assistant capability with smart entertainment devices that users already have in their home. In fact, 40% of those connected TV households use the devices daily, and we've seen this continue to grow since shelter-in-place went into effect. Last year, we announced Google Assistant support for TVs, remotes, set-top boxes, speakers, soundbars, and even game consoles from top brands like Xbox, Roku, Dish, and
LG. So these have been around for a little while, but now they're going to be even more.
And now we're making these APIs public for any TV, set-top box, or game developer to use. With the newly launched SHED traits, an avid gamer can say, hey, G, play Gears 5 on Xbox or any other games. And anyone can relax after a busy day to enjoy sporting events by saying something like, hey, G, tune to ESPN, or hey, G, make it louder.
There you go. That's what we should have been doing the whole time.
We invite you to take a look at our SHED documentation and start building today. Speaking of spending more time at home, people are finding that it's more important than ever to focus on wellness. And sleep is a critical part in maintaining our overall well-being. Our bodies are designed to wake up and fall asleep based on the presence and absence of natural light. Yet our alarms today are designed to be jarring, interruptive, and unnatural. No wonder few of us enjoy waking up to our alarms every morning. Additionally, almost half of U.S. adults say they have trouble sleeping, up from one-third only a few years ago. In an effort
to talk about the superchiasmatic nuclei?
Natural ebb and flow of light during the day, we are launching
the gentle sleep-wake feature.
The wake-up feature slowly brightens the alarm, the lights before your alarm, allowing you
This is similar to a feature that Philips Hue offers out of the box, and Apple has recently announced a similar feature. Different smart lighting platforms have this kind of baked in, but it's nice if you're using one platform, like the Google Assistant, to control all of your lights, to have this work with that.
Set it and forget it, or can be evoked for immediate brightening or dimming of your lights. We think this is a powerful new feature that you can bring to your customers. This feature will be launching later this year, and we need your help in telling users about it. We also encourage you to integrate or build your own unique experiences leveraging this capability. Okay. But if not, we'll emulate it using a series of brightness and color commands on our end. Over the last 2 years, to enable a helpful home experience, we focused on foundational features necessary to make it easier for a user to manage their smart device. We started by enabling users to use their voice to control their devices. We added touch controls to allow for device interaction with smart displays, and we continue to build an experience where the assistant is multimodal, where voice and touch complement each other. After seeing the phenomenal touch engagement from users on smart displays and in the Google Home app, we're expanding our touch controls to the OS. And what better way to enable that than with our mobile footprint on Android? With the release of Android 11 coming out later this year, we are introducing a dedicated, persistent space for smart home controls. Yes, we heard about this. I was very excited to hear this because having those controls immediately is what makes me more likely to control my HomeKit smart home rather than using my voice to do it.
And so it's good that they're making this available for folks who want to do that instead.
And it's saying for free development wise, they don't have to do anything. That's cool. Yeah, I've been just using that on iOS like today. We'll the new features on iOS 14 because I had to turn my lights on and then it showed up in Control Center.
In the morning, or how far to open the blinds. This entire OS experience is built on top of the foundation that we've established in the Google Home app. And conveniently for users, they can quickly link back to the Home app for deeper device controls advanced capabilities like routines. Finally, we built this by putting user privacy first. Every device must be authenticated before it can be used in this mode, and users can even choose to hide these controls from showing up at all until they're authenticated. Your business reps can help with more detail, but here are the biggest areas to work on. First of all, marketing. Get the word out about this with emails, notifications, and updating your existing assets. Second, device setup. Please make sure your linking experience is easy with App Flip and 3P Deep Linking. And finally, let's make sure that your device is integrated with all the relevant traits launched globally.
This slide here is really a keen example or a clear example about how this is a developer focused summit. But I like getting a little bit of information about sort of the behind the scenes state of things.
It's like a mix of the state of the union. Control,
it becomes more critical to ensure that we have accurate state. Our team is going to be providing tools to measure your reliability and latency that'll help you improve and debug state reporting.
So state reporting is an important feature for smart home tech because it tells the device or the operating system in this case, hey, right now the light is on, it's set to 70% brightness and it is this color of, is this hue. That way it is always available to the operating system and makes it so that when you hit that button, it does the right thing, be it turning on or turning off or dropping the brightness or not. So it reduces latency by properly reporting the state, and then it also reduces the error of accidentally turning on or off the light when it is already on or off.
Benefiting users with reduced latency
local home SDK
by removing cloud hop.
This is what I was talking about.
Process, it's ready for the actions. That's
Chrome
good.
And Node.js runtime environments, as well as developing, building, and testing of apps on local development machines or personal servers. Once you've deployed your local fulfillment app, users will benefit immediately without having to upgrade hardware or manually update firmware. Our local execution solution makes sure smart home just works, with real-time control and a seamless developer experience. We're already skip the server, with a growing list of
do things locally, local execution of devices in with these, Nanoleaf, Philips Hue, these are big ones, Tile, yeah. LifeX, these are huge, yeah.
Head on over to the developer console today to start to implement local fulfillment for your apps.
Nice. I'm reading about this today.
High quality integration is important. It reduces churn and delights users. Yet there's still a critical gap to try to get users to try out these use cases. And we're doing a couple of things on our end to increase the funnel of users linked to your action. We are excited to launch AppFlip on the developer console today. With AppFlip, we reduce the standard account linking flow to just two steps by flipping users from the Google Home app to the partner app without requiring an additional sign-in. More discovery and linking initiatives.
This is
coming
what
soon, so
Apple has made a requirement. So this is why I know about sort of AppFlip. It makes it so that you don't have to go and create an account in a third-party app in order to control your lights. You set it up with the Google Home app, and then it kicks you over to the app that you want to use if you want to do independent notifications and things like that without having to create a new separate login and account and authorization.
Behavior of your smart home integration is critical for debugging and early development to detailed analytics and production. To enhance developer productivity, we've integrated with the powerful monitoring and troubleshooting tools available in Google Cloud Platform to provide detailed event logs and usage metrics for smart home projects. We've enhanced project logging in three key areas, local home SDK, account linking, and assistant events to help developers debug and resolve issues quickly with Google Cloud logging. You can view and analyze log entries directly in the developer console or build logs-based metrics to find trends and gain deeper insights into common problems. Speaking of metrics, you'll find a new smart home analytics dashboard accessible from the developer console and pre-populated with charts for common metrics such as daily active users and request breakdown, giving you an overall picture of your integration's behavior. This dashboard is monitored by new usage and performance metrics
for Google
Cloud Monitoring,
Good. I don't know if you behind the scenes. Yeah. I don't like to think about people knowing how many times I turn on or off a light in my house and that kind of thing.
I assume there's some privacy layers, but yeah.
I know many of you who are joining us for this
different
keynote are familiar with our Works with Nest program and the changes that we announced last year.
Bye-bye,
I'll take a few minutes now to share with you our progress on the Works with Nest transition and provide an update on what we're doing to create an ecosystem that offers our partners and developers greater flexibility in creating a helpful home. Last year, we announced our plans to transition Works with Nest to the Works with Google Assistant ecosystem and build on a foundation of privacy and data security to ensure our users have confidence in how Google and our partners are protecting the consumer's home data.
Nice.
As a result, our users will have more control and transparency over how their data is shared and how our developers will have a simplified experience in delivering home automation. To continue to support Works with Nest partners that have their own smart home platforms and ecosystems, we announced the Device Access Program, enabling qualified partners to use our API to request secure access and control of users' Nest devices within the partners' apps and solutions, providing our mutual customers more choice on how to control their home. For example, a user that owns a security system can choose to opt in their Nest thermostats on other smart home devices so they can be viewed and controlled via the security system provider app as long as that partner is part of the device access program. All device access partners must pass an annual security assessment from one of our authorized testers as well as agree to the terms of service. Users are always in control and choose which Nest products they want to share with the partner. To support the device access program, we will soon launch the device access console. This console will be available for both individuals and commercial developers. As a commercial developer, the console allows you to manage your various projects and integrations. It also provides development guides and trait documentation for all supported Nest devices. The self-serve console guides you through the different project phases, development, certification, and pilot testing, and finally production. In each stage, we ensure that our mutual users' privacy and security is maintained. Individuals who want to create their own automations with their Nest devices will now be able to do so with this console, but will be restricted to a limited number of structures and users.
That's good to know. So it's both for developers to test it, but also for those individuals who want to set up integrations themselves, which is something that I had done in the past with Google Nest, or with Nest, rather, on the Nest Cam.
Nest and third-party ecosystem partner products react when users are home or away. Users can select which Nest and mobile devices are used to collect the data that determines home away status. For instance, when the sensors indicate that it's clear
really
that there's
transparency
nobody home,
that's and happening here, a very the clear and easy way to tell what is tracking my location, what is not tracking my location, and what is controlling and not controlling. That's good, because in the past it could be kind of confusing about which app it was using or which service it was using to track that information. This kind of puts it all in one place and gives you more control over it.
Another way that you'll be able to innovate on our platform and provide more helpful experiences to users is by extending automatic and user-created routines with custom partner routines. The most innovative Works with Nest integrations were built by our third-party partners, so we'll be recreating that capability by enabling partners to build custom routines. Developers will be able to create and suggest routines not just for their devices, their devices can work with other devices in a customer's home.
I don't think so. Okay.
You'll be able to create solutions for your customers
works with
that are
Google
based
Assistant.
On your core business and value to your consumers.
WWGA.
Whether it's wellness, cleaning, entertainment, security, it's up to you. Users will be able to browse and opt into approved routines and to choose to have Nest and other devices react and participate in that routine.
Nice.
This developer capability is being built with security and privacy at its core. There's no need for partners to access user personal information or device data since the routine is managed by the assistant. We'll also protect users and partners alike by limiting device actions to just certain device categories that are non-security or privacy related. We're still building the infrastructure to enable these experiences, so please stay tuned for more on custom partner routines will be coming later this year. So now I'd like to give you a
here
update
we go,
P-choy. On what we're doing with Project Connected Home over IP.
Our chip.
While smart home devices are abundant, the lack of an industry-wide connectivity standard leaves people confused and frustrated while trying to understand what they need to make their
Zigbee,
home smart.
Zigbee, Z-Wave, Bluetooth. What are we using?
It also places a heavy burden on manufacturers to make sure that their devices are compatible with the various ecosystems versus spending precious resources on their core competencies. That's why, back in December 2019, we announced that we're forming a working group together with Amazon, Apple, and the Zigbee Alliance to develop and drive adoption of a new smart home connectivity standard. This initiative is called Project Connected Home over IP.
This happens so often.
And intends to solve the protocol fragmentation issue.
It's another protocol, yeah.
Similar to how USB evolved to become a plug-and-play connectivity standard, this initiative aims to give consumers the choice of which connected home ecosystem, whether it's Google Assistant, Alexa, HomeKit, or another, that they want their smart home products to be able to participate in. This means that device manufacturers can build a single product to one standard and stay on cost and time to market with one protocol to implement, which has broad compatibility. A key aspect of the use of IP is a foundational building block in the standard. Today, there's no widely adopted open standard for smart home, which is built upon IP. And yet IP is the protocol of the internet as the most common network layer used in our homes and offices. Because of the unique ability for IP to bring together disparate network technologies, IP is an ideal way to deliver end-to-end security and privacy in communication between a device and another device, or an app or service. This protocol will run on IP networks like Wi-Fi, Thread for low-power mesh, and Bluetooth for device commissioning.
Interesting. Thread is still a part of it.
We're a big believer in this new connectivity standard. We've not only open-sourced and contributed technologies like Weave, we are actively involved.
Weave came from Nest.
Integrating it into our products and working with partners to deliver this simpler experience to our customers. As Project Connected Home over IP's initial specification gets released in late 2020, we will have more information on how it will tie into Works with Google Assistant. In the meantime, nothing changes for our existing smart home developer program. Your current smart home products will continue to work with the Google Assistant, and we encourage you to keep innovating using technologies that are available today, like the Smart Home API and the Local Home SDK. If you'd like to get involved,
I wonder if that means they'll handle the updates when they eventually come, if you're already integrated with Google. That would make sense.
Yeah, that is a good question. I was on the Connected Home website this morning, and there's not a whole lot new that we haven't already seen.
We now have integrations with thousands of partners covering all the major connected product categories and devices, and have embarked on an ambitious project to build deeper in-home integrations through our leadership in Project Connected Home over IP. Together, we are on track to deliver the most comprehensive and robust set of smart home capabilities for our mutual users with privacy and security at the core.
Interestingly, Apple didn't cover this at the Worldwide Developers Conference, anything about P-Choy that I saw.
Sharing your feedback with us.
It's not out yet, though, so that's not Apple style.
Other smart home developers
I guess later in 20... Well, AirPlay was announced, or the Air Charger thingy was announced long before it ever came out.
Well, that didn't...
They've learned their lesson there.
That, folks, was the end of the keynote. Okay. Up next on the agenda is a break, and then they're going to have a sort of panel discussion to talk about how COVID-19 has impacted business and just an overall conversation about the smart home industry. It includes the CTO of Vizio, the strategic partnership and collaboration leader at IKEA, the CFO of Tuya, which Tuya is an interesting company, being that it is is a larger sort of system on a chip manufacturers for companies that want to add smart home stuff to their products. So you may come to find out that your robotic vacuum cleaner or your smart coffee maker actually has a Tuya chip inside of it. So the CFO of Tuya being at the event is kind of cool. And then head of North America partnerships from LG. So all of these folks will be on a panel pretty soon. So pretty neat that's going to be, you know, coming up. But I guess I want to get your overall take, Matthew, on what was announced and sort of what you are excited about. I'll round things out and we will say goodbye to our viewers.
Sure. I thought it was definitely interesting. I like the focus on, obviously, this is a smart home event, but just the data of how much people are using their stuff now that priorities have shifted for a lot of people. Because I noticed that with Apple's keynote, too. They were like, last year we did on the go, this year it's in the home. And that makes a lot of sense. So it is a shame that all of that chip stuff isn't already in place so that people could adopt it all right now in their devices if you are investing in it. But I still think if we were postulating, it's like maybe Google will be handling that transition a little bit. So I guess it does require the devices itself. So we'll see with that. But there's a lot of interesting stuff. I like the integration experience. It seems a lot smoother, both for developers and the people setting it up, because that's always like the worst part about the smart home experience is signing into every single device over and over again. So it looks like now you'll be able to just sign in with your Google account in the Hue app or something like that, and it all deep links back and forth. So that'll be good. And then also, yeah, the local SDK is out. They were talking a lot about state reporting, which will be even better for automation. It's like everything can always be fully up to date and ready to go. And then the Nest stuff also isn't being left behind, because that's always a major concern with smart home things, is something gets acquired, eventually it goes away, kind of. But when you're Google, you kind of can't get away with that. And then, yeah, we were saying suggested routines and things like that are going to be integrating with the apps, not just from the sort of basic stuff that Google can do. So that will probably require developers to have they were saying they always come up with better integrations than we do, which is probably true across most of the smart home stuff. So that will be interesting to see develop as well.
Yep. My big thing, of course, is the local home SDK and local fulfillment. So I do want to be clear. It was December 18, the day before my birthday last year, that Google announced the local home SDK. So the local execution and control of smart home devices has been around for a year. There's just been improvements to it as of this event. So I want to make that clear. That's super awesome that this has been around for a while. But although it was announced at that point, they kind of are now just being able to talk about what it is and sort of more understanding about how to use it. So very cool stuff there. I've been very happy with that introduction, obviously, and that you know, you're going to be able to do local area network connections for all the reasons I mentioned before. And then any kind of verification and two-factor authentication and security stuff, that was really refreshing and good to see that Google was very clearly saying, hey, we are concerned about user privacy. And not only that, but giving users the ability to take control of their data and know where their data is being used and how it is being used. So one portal where they can access all that information, I think, is a very good thing. And then I'm just excited to see what else is going to come in terms of the Shed stuff. So the entertainment devices, so that, you know, you can control your TV and things like that using your voice. And then PCHOIP, Project Connected Home over IP, which is supposed to be the way of the future where all devices can communicate over one protocol, and that'll be pretty cool too. Folks, I would love, of course, to thank LastPass once again for sponsoring this episode. We are coming at you live from Twit's LastPass studios. And yeah, you know, it's very important that you maintain security, whether you are working remotely or at work. And LastPass.com/Twit can get you more information about what LastPass can do for you. It's multi-factor authentication. It's single sign-on. It is a great place to make sure that all of your employees have the passwords they need when they need them, and that those things can be changed and secured as quickly as they need to be with local device encryption. It's all baked in, and make sure that you are securing not only your employees, but your business as a whole. Very important. And head to LastPass.com/Twit, where you can learn more about that. Thank you to LastPass, and thank you to all of you for tuning in to the, as we're now calling it, Hey G, love that, Hey G Smart Home Summit. We will see you next time. And of course, if you want to learn more about our thoughts on this event and what else Google kind of announces in the stuff that's coming forth, check out Smart Tech Today, which Matthew Casanelli and I co-host every Monday right here on the Twit.tv network. Thank you all, and we'll catch you soon. Bye.